ourselves into the Yom Kippur spirit, short shiur. Everyone, obviously, take whatever rest you need today. Mikvah's open. If you want to go to the mikvah in Barayim, make sure you go with the Israelis and carry, it's in the proper fashion. Even people don't go to the mikvah of Rosh Hashanah, go to the mikvah of Yom Kippur, is even more popular. So if you have a family minhag, for whatever reason, it's against going to the mikvah of Rosh Hashanah, it's only Erev Yom Kippur is the day that, according to some Rishonim, it's actually a mitzvah to go, you make a bracha on it, but something you should take very seriously. Okay, let's see if we can walk up the mountain. That'd be a good mantra for the next 24 hours, the next 27, next 30 hours, whatever it is. On the one hand, let's see it as a day of Yom Mechila, Slicha v'Chapara, a day to stop the train, stop our lives, skid to a halt, and try to look inside, and try to see who we are. And you all did a really good job. I'm sorry we weren't able to spend time yesterday based on the schedule to really share some of our inquiry and exploration, but I'm sure you all know it's happened, and I'm proud I see it's happening, and everyone has their own personal journey and their own identity and their own background and their own hopes and their own dreams, and certainly no one's here to try to in any way homogenize those or indoctrinate against those. But take this day to see it as a climax of the last 40 days of work, and take your time when you say your vidui. Part of the vidui process is it's very reductive. The first couple of vidui's, it's harder to trace every single vidui. You're in a bit of a denial, which is fine. You're still very ego-driven, very comfortable. You're not yet. There's a certain breakdown effect of Yom Kippur where you're not eating, where you're not into food and sleep, and then sometimes there are pathways that are a little more open to understanding yourself. And then don't be frustrated. The most important thing is don't be frustrated if at certain parts of Yom Kippur you're less successful. That could be very debilitating. Whatever time you have, whatever moments of inspiration, whatever moments of feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu you have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values that. Do you have a seat for Stephen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values that. And don't sit there and be frustrated. Very often when you find that you're not able to have a good chakras, you spend the entire musaf upset that you didn't have a good chakras. Just let it go, and Rachmana Liba Boy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you want him, and you want to find him, and I'll talk about this a little bit later. And there's an old expression in the old yeshivas in Europe, and some of the Musa yeshivas, that Yom Kippur is nicht zu sein, a besser mensch, nor zu sein, an anderer mensch. Yom Kippur is intended not to become a better person, but to become a different person. Besser is better, under is different. To what extent can you make real, real change and look inside and find traits, whether they're character traits, whether they're values, whether they're relationships with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is the highest day to be a human being, to not just use your Bechira Chavshis about the decisions you make vis-a-vis the world around you, but to use your Bechira Chavshis about the world within you. It's really difficult to employ your Bechira Chavshis internally to turn that telescope inwards, rather than constantly looking at the world and what's our political view and where do we want to live and which yeshiva do we want to go to and who do we want to marry, which are all obviously not all equally but important issues. But the most important issue and the only issue you can ever fully control is whom you are. You can't control anything else in life. Everything you have can be taken. Every decision you make may be a failure. The only thing you're completely in control of, whom you are, your behavior, your traits, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a Bechira Chavshis that's the hardest, but it's also the most gratifying because it's unlimited Bechira Chavshis. You're in complete control of trying to become that person. And it's hard, and don't expect tomorrow night all of a sudden a metamorphosis, the butterfly effect, as we spoke about yesterday with the Shtar. But it's see it as an opportunity to train yourselves and retrain yourselves. And if you look, I'll give you a couple of hints and tips. It shouldn't just be abstract and theoretical, but how to make sure that this is practically a meaningful Yom Kippur. Here's what I would hope your target is. I imagine that for most people, before you get to yeshiva, everyone included, that's where I was when I was your age. I imagine for most people, the happiest day of your life is Yud Aleph Tishrei, the day after Yom Kippur. Finish all of that. I don't have to go through that for another year. I have a whole year until I have to go fast and daven and sweat and stand. That's true. You can laugh. It's perfectly natural if that's your feeling. And as perm time comes, you get a little antsy because you're 6 months away, and Pesach and Tisha B'Av, you're 2 months away, and then Slicha's time, and The hardest day of the year is Tes Tishrei and Yud Tishrei, because it's coming and you'd rather not, and you're holding your breath and you're hoping. And I think that when you're religiously mature, it really does invert. If you speak to people who understand it and get it, it really becomes inverted. Today's the happiest day of my life. Honestly, tomorrow's the happiest day of my life. Yom Echad Bashana. This is the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers me to become a better person, to look inside, to purge, to cleanse, to... I mean, so much of life is getting caught in ruts, and not taking the time to inspect, especially in the modern world, which is just so frenetic and so, and sometimes so distracted from existential thought. We're in a world of entertainment, we're in a world of business, we're in a world of loud politics. Hatzad HaShav HaShev Bohem is that very often we don't get involved in the real thoughts that matter. Your politics don't make a difference, and the stock market doesn't make a difference. They're important. We invest in them, we engage in them. But it's your identity. That's the eternity that you have, and that's the eternity you have to sculpt. And it's sad when you don't spend enough time, and this is one day a year, to focus on that eternity. So try to, and to be honest, my worst day of the year, really, saddest day of the year, tomorrow night, I'm crushed. I feel like I've spent 24 hours in Shemayim, and I feel like I've tried as best as I can to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I feel like I've been kicked out of heaven, and I have to be hurtled down to this earth, but that's what it is to be a human being. As excited as we are to live, the moment of our entry into this world is to a degree, a sad moment. That's why Shalom Zachar has a little bit of Nichum Avelis to it, one of the Makoros for Shalom Zachar. It's because the Neshama used to be by the Kisei HaKavod, right near HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now you enter this world, and it's a world of difficulty and challenge and frustration and sadness and darkness. And hopefully we bring light to the world and we change it. And we obviously have a deep, deep instinct of preservation and live. We celebrate life, and we protect life, preserve life, but... there's a certain sense that this is not the only sphere we inhabit, and this is not the perfect sphere just because it's our sphere. And that's an echo that you probably have thought about a lot this year. I've tried to take you out of your reality and have you inspect it and say, this is my reality, but may not be the only one, may not be the perfect one. It's the one that I met for my first 17 years, but now all of a sudden I'm seeing slight variations to it. So that's part of it. See if you can focus in on yourself. I may be repeating myself, but it's good. It's a nice summary. If you think about something about your personality that causes you pain, it's generally a good idea to pursue that thought rather than avoid it. More often in life, when we think about something about ourselves and it hurts us, we cauterize it, we look aside, we try to ignore it, and that's generally advisable because that's how we cope. That's how we cope. If we stare at ourselves in the mirror, the real mirror, not the Snow White mirror, but the real mirror, the authentic mirror, and we saw ourselves with all of our flaws, it'd be devastating. So we all like to paint a picture. That's fine. That leads to self-esteem and confidence and optimism, and that's all appropriate. Yom Kippur, try to pull out a real mirror. Put away the Snow White mirror. That tells you you're the fairest of them all. Take out a real mirror and try to understand whom you are and whom you're not. And that's the gratifying way to go through Yom Kippur. We become really different. How are you going to be different in 30 hours? Are you going to be the same person just slugging your way through? Or is it going to be a real difference, a real change? And it'll start to happen. But that is just one aspect of the day. And call that Yom Kippur. Tomorrow is not just Yom Kippur. People in the know, Svarim, Rav Lichtenstein, as we'll see in a moment, they're looking for something else. They're not looking for Yom Kippur. And they call it something else. Tomorrow is known as Yom HaGadol V'Hanara. And it's just the day to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll talk about how those two cross-sect in a few moments. Well, make up your mind. Is it the day of legal kapara and slicha and atonement, as it's translated in English, or is it a day on Hashem's mountain being with Ribono Shel Olam, Gadol V'Hanara? And the fasting feeds both of those experiences. On the one hand, we want our fasting to both be in exchange, as we'll say tonight. And again, if you haven't ever said it, I strongly recommend come in at 6, sit down and say Tefillah Zaka as slowly as you can in the beginning of your Machzor. We say very clearly in Tefillah Zaka, we'll say tomorrow in Musaf, whatever weight we lose tomorrow, whatever struggle we go through, whatever pain we feel should be in place of our korbanos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should offset some of the pleasure we've taken out of life that we shouldn't have with the deprivation of Yom Kippur. It certainly has that quid pro quo exchange effect, but more importantly, it lets us, as I said before, limit the distractions of food and biorhythm and time and just hone in on understanding ourselves better without being distracted, without waiting for lunch, without eating, without digesting, without... But the fast is more than just the fast to facilitate kapara. When Moshe Rabbeinu wants to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to calibrate himself closer to being an angel and less to being a creature, a human, an animal, an animal in a bestial sense. We're right between angels and animals. And many of our activities are angelic. Many of our activities are shared with the animal kingdom. And we want to rise up that scale. We want to walk up and live the life of a malach and for 24 hours live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not just to facilitate the kapara. It's to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today we're malachim. Marti Elokim Atem of Ne'el Yon Kochem. We're B'nei Elyon tomorrow. And how do you get that sense of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 24 hours? This is a promo, as strange as it sounds, this is a promo for the rest of your reality. You know, Baruch Hashem, you're young, and life feels very long, and Emirat Hashem, it should be very long, but at some point, it will end, and then the rest of your reality will kick in, and there'll be no food, and there'll be no drink, and there'll be no time, and there'll be no bodies, it'll just be you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the closest we get to that, the Me'ein Olam Haba, is Yom Kippur. This is the closest promo of what you'll be like. If you're looking to understand what comes afterwards, what will it be like? It's hard because right now your neshama is pasted to this body and the paste is so tight that it's almost hard to discern between the two. Like, look at the guy next to you. I mean, don't be creepy about it, but look at the guy next to you. Like, you're not really looking at him. You're looking at his body, at his shell. The him is deep, deep, deep inside, and that's not that's not reflected by the way he looks in his nose, in his ears, in his eyes, although for our purposes, it's melded so tightly together that we can't even process them separately. But at some point, the body disappears, and the body fades, and the body, and the neshama remains. And Yom Kippur is a day in which we try to liberate ourselves from our bodies a little bit so we can soar, so that it's our neshama that we feel, that we sense. And you may have sensed that some could die. I feel bad I didn't mention it to you, but again, depending on how strong you fast. And again, no one should feel that if you're having a hard time fasting, obviously the fast is not the goal. The fast is not the ends. The fast is the means for kapara, for slicha, for being omid b'har Hashem. But sometimes, because our neshama is still pasted to the body holds it back. Sometimes, you know, you have a hard time fasting. So at that point, we just scale it down. Like someone called me today, they're having a very hard time. They're sick. I just said, worst comes to worst comes to worst. Just stay in bed all day and fast. What do you mean? I won't daven, of course, but it's a mitzvah in a Torah to fast. Don't say, don't take risk with your body. And sometimes we're not able to transcend and use the fast as a springboard to something else because we're just caught in circumstances that we're not in control of. People in the army, people in hospitals, people have to care to other people. We're human beings. As much as we want to transcend our humanity on Yom Kippur, we're still living in this world. But if you can and you're strong enough, you may see tomorrow night around 5:30, ask yourself, maybe I want to fast another day. What would happen if I could just lock this in forever? I'm in such a heightened state of awareness and religious consciousness, and I don't really care about food. And of course, I know my body's going to come pulling me down and dragging me back into the world of reality. But if I could take a pill, just lock this in. I feel like I'm so attuned to important ideas because I've stepped aside from the world that I inhabit, which is an important world. That's why it's called Yom HaGadol V'Hanara, to be Omid Lifnei Hashem, the Pasuk of Yom Kippur. Remember, the Pasuk of Rosh Hashanah was Tikru B'Chodesh Ofar, the Pasuk we recite before Shemoneh Esrei at night. The Pasuk of Yom Kippur, Ki V'Yom HaZeh Yichaper Alechem L'Tayir Eschem Mikol Chatosechem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. And that's different from Yechezkel. Yechezkel says, V'Zarakti Alechem Mayim Torim, Hashem's in Shemayim, and he's pouring down waters that cleanse you. But the pasuk in Emor, in Acharemos, Lifnei Hashem, you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a really great mantra for Yom Kippur. Up the mountain, if you want in English, Lifnei Hashem. Can you stand Lifnei Hashem for 24 hours? Can you be Omid Lifnei Hashem? And can that be your goal, not the fast? How do you make it your goal? How do you do it? So three hints, three practical tips. Okay, I promise you, if you follow these, you'll be very, again, guarantee success, but you'll put yourself in the best position to be successful. You may have heard them before, but trust me, I've said this for years and years, and people have thanked me about particular ones, about all of them. Number one, If you really want to escape being a human being and live like a malach, then it's not the food, and it's not the drink. The biggest tyrant, the biggest grounder, the biggest shackle is not food and drink. And you've learned it. You've learned it well this year. It's time. If you could just escape time, you'd really be free to do what you want, when you want, even now. You're listening, but you know that I've told you it's going to end in 30 minutes and you're going to go to the mikvah or eat whatever, and your experience is curtailed and compromised by the fact that it's going to end. And you're telling yourself, well, it's going to end. And so it's a bounded experience. What if experiences were endless and weren't bounded by time? They'd have a resonance and a potency that they don't have because they end. And we clip them temporally with our time management. How much time or how much of your Yom Kippur do you spend? I don't mean you. I'm not saying this, God forbid, in a patronizing way. But do people spend, do we spend, looking at your watch, asking yourself, I've already fasted 5 hours. I still have 19 hours. I've already fasted 60%. 40% is left. Six halves. People do it. People look at their watch. And it's a psychological escape mechanism. You're telling yourself, this is going to end. I'm going to walk out. The buses will be running. Life will be bristling. The birds will be chirping. And essentially, you are not just quantifying the experience and thereby limiting it. You're also framing it, parenthesizing it. It's a parenthesis because it's going to end. I come into the Beis Medrash in Yom Kippur. I've done this for years, and people have started this, and they tell me they keep doing it year in, year out. Take off your watch. Take off your watch. Put it aside, or don't wear it, lechatchila. And just try to live beyond time. Just try to be with Hashem in a way that, who cares? Who cares whether it's 5 hours, or 20 hours, 20 days, 20 years, 20 million years? Okay, right now I can't do that because my body can't live through that experience, but at least I'm creating that continuum. If you're always looking at your watch, it's not just that you're distracted, but you're essentially handcuffing yourself and saying, it's going to end, and it's 7:20 whenever Shkia is tomorrow, it's going to end, and I know it's going to end. And take, for example, pain. When people feel pain, pain is a product of the expectation of continued suffering. When the pain is about to end, it doesn't feel painful anymore, even before it officially ends. That's why these pricks and needles when your foot falls asleep don't really hurt you, because they're in the process of disappearing. It's been proven scientifically. Animals probably don't feel pain. There's an instinctive cry that sounds to us like pain, but many scientists believe they don't feel pain in the way that we do, because there's no memory nor is there expectation. So they can't process it's going to continue. When you're holding something hot, and right before you put it down, it's no longer hot, because you're not expecting it to feel painful anymore. So our expectations very much feed our experience. And if we're expecting and deeply immersed in the conclusion, then the experience starts to become very limp and flat and weak. So try, if you can, take your watch or practice it tonight. Come into the shul, Beis Medrash at 6 o'clock, take your watch off, and then just walk out. Obviously, put your watch back on when you go back to your room because you want to wake up tomorrow, you need to know what time it is. But for whatever those, I'm not even going to tell you, I know how long it lasts because I've been here for 40 years, but however long tonight's davening lasts, just get lost. Just engage yourself more or less as best you can without looking at the watch, when's it going to end? That's number one. Number two, related, but even more difficult. The Yetzer Hara plays tricks on you. That's his job. Hashem wants it to be free choice. Hashem doesn't want it to be easy. Yetzer Hara doesn't have to be an angel. It can also be human nature. Hashem creates human nature that inhibits us. For the Yetzer Hara, tomorrow is poor. For us, it's Yom Kippur. For him, it's Purim. He gets dressed up. You know what his costume is tomorrow? You know how he really wants to help thwart your tshuva? Two ways. First of all, as I told you the other night, he wants to redirect your focus to generic, blasé, everyman, averos, that don't really let you cut to the bone. So he'd really like you. If the Yetzer had his way, I mean, if he really had his way, you'd be in your room watching YouTube videos, but he knows that's futile. So what he tries instead is to redirect your attention to the following chatoyim. This is what he'd like you to perform tshuva for. Kibud avayim. Talmud Torah. Lashon Hara. If he gets you to obsess about those, then he's essentially holding you back from deeper dives and deeper exploration. Because that everyone has to. There's not a human being alive that doesn't have to worry about those three. Kavan and davening, add that to the stack. We all struggle with those. Those are the four hardest things, especially in our day. And if he can get you, I'll learn more Torah on up. Then he's got you. Because he's created a shell, and he has tossed you into that shell, but it's just so external. It's such an upper layer that you're not getting subcutaneous. You're not digging deep. You're not drilling deep into yourself. And he's happy about that because he knows he can't completely obstruct you. He's just got to redirect you. He wants you to chew on a little bit. Chew on these issues. So that's one ploy. Don't get caught up in the obvious. Move on. Think about different parts of Rosh. Maybe if you want today, sit down and make a list of things you'd like to think about, a private little list, and put it in your back pocket and then pull it out. And as Yom Kippur goes through, have I thought about this enough? Have I thought about that enough? Because it can get very frenetic and very intense, and a lot is happening, and you sometimes forget yourself. But even more so, and this is the tricky part, you know how the Yetzer Hara really dresses up on Yom Kippur? He dresses up as Thursday. You're going to be spending, and it's human nature, a lot of time tomorrow. Not a lot of time, but it's going to flit into your mind. What are your plans for Thursday and Friday and Shabbos, and which tefillin you're taking, and where you're going for Shabbos, and where you're... That's also an escape route. It's going to end. It's Thursday's going to happen, and all this will just be some dream. It'll be meaningful, but I'll frame it. It'll be the parentheses. It's Tuesday. There's Thursday. And okay, Wednesday was a big day, but no, Thursday's coming. Block it out of your head. And here's how you will. Here's how I do it. Maybe you've got other ways to do it. If you're really honest about davening tomorrow, if you really reduce the davening, be honest. Don't be hypocritical. Don't fake yourself out. Essentially, tomorrow we're all davening that there shouldn't be a Thursday. If we're really true about it, right? If we really say what we really want to happen, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, Ralphie, you're sitting in the front row, Stephen, blank check. You decide what how I respond to your tefillos tomorrow. You're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring Mashiach. Let's all be at the Kotel. Let's all hear the Shofar Gadol. And Thursday doesn't exist, at least in the way we're planning it. Now, we're human beings. We have to plan for Thursday. We can't just wake up on Thursday and build bridges. We have to maintain bridges and food and plan what our schedule is. But essentially, we're trying to end around that. We're trying really hard tomorrow that Thursday should never happen. Or at least as we know it. So if it happens, I'll deal with it. But I'm trying my hardest at 3:15 tomorrow not to worry about where I'm going to be, eating with my friends or going to a movie or going to Tiol or whatever, good healthy things. I'm really, really, really hoping it just won't happen. Like anytime you're hoping something won't happen, you're not experiencing before. Oh, I know I'm going to have that root canal. I'm thinking about it all day. No, I'll get to it. If it happens, it happens. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll get some good news. Maybe the doctor will tell me I don't have to have that procedure. Maybe I'll get... You're trying to forestall it and push it off. Let me say it to you differently. This is even harsher. Okay, listen to me carefully. I want to make sure I say it the right way. If ultimately it's not an egotistical tefillah, and the most important part of your agenda tomorrow is to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just want to be with you, and I know that my sins have separated us. I'm looking to reunite with you. Then at a certain point, I feel, sometimes when I'm very successful at davening, I get to the stage where I tell Hashem, you know, Hashem, it's really all about being together. And I don't really care where it is, up there or down here. I just want to be with you. I'm not davening for mechila slicha. I really hope that I can help you, and therefore I need to be on this earth, because there are people that need me, people that rely on me. I'm trying to help bring your presence into this earth in my small way. But it's not about me. So I should have a better year and a healthy year and more money and more food, and my team should win. And I want to be here for you. I want you. And you obviously gave me this preservation instinct that I want to live, so I trust you that I should be davening to live, because you made me that way. That's how you structured me. You put my DNA together that I should want to live and take steps to preserve my life. So obviously, it's not egotistical to want to live, but ultimately, I want to step beyond my instincts and my deep DNA and say, it's just about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as far as I'm concerned, deep down, on an even playing field, it could be up in Shemaim, it could be here. The way you structure this earth, you want me to want you by being here. It's a strange thing because I'm so far from you, but you want me to be. So I'm davening for that, but it doesn't. As far as I'm concerned, I'll be in Shemayim tomorrow. So it won't make a difference to me. It would make a difference to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say, lamanchem lo lamanenu. Make a difference to the people that you position me to try to be there for and raise and inspire and work with. And try to avoid thoughts of Thursday. They're going to come into your mind. It's natural. It's natural in general. Every day you think about the next day, what's going to happen. And particularly on this day where you're running. It's hard. It's a lot of weight. And try not to run anywhere. Try to face it. Turn around and face it and say, I want to be part of this day. So number one, take your watch off. That's, I would say, the basic. Because the others are mental. Mental, imaginative exercises sometimes are hard. Sometimes they work for some people. Sometimes they don't work for other people. You have your own imagination, your own thoughts. I wouldn't try to script your thoughts for you. I'm just giving you ideas to think about. But your watch is just, it's the common Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. It's just whether you're living in time or not living in time. Number two, try not to think about Thursday. Try to think only tomorrow. Let's say tomorrow would last forever. Can you bring yourself to the point where you can snap your fingers and say, you know what? I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What could be better? This is the ultimate. This is what I want. I may not always want it, but I want to want it. Now I have it, and just lock it in. Let's just call it a day. A day. Let's just freeze frame. Freeze it in place. And finally, take a look at this letter. Okay? This is a letter. I would tell you to fold it and put it in your machzor, which I think you should, because you can't, in your wildest dreams, imagine how much alumni want to be here tomorrow. I mean, all the emails I'm getting, and just yeshiva, you can imagine. Yom Kippur is so different, so spectacular. I just wish I could come back, and you see a lot of people flying in. This would be like a little piece of yeshiva. I send it out on social media. I say, obviously, you don't need this piece of paper. You can just download it. But Rav Lichtenstein would hang this sign up all over the yeshiva every year. And it was co-signed by Rav Amital, so. But you can see he wrote the letter by the handwriting. And I want to read it with you because even the letters are hard to read. On the back, it's my translation, so be careful. This is my translation on the back. It's not they didn't write in English. This was just hung up, but I want to make sure people understood it. And listen to how he tries to set the day for you. Be'ezus Hashem, Erev Mali Yom Kippura, Tuf Shin Samach Aleph. It was the same letter every year. You can just tell they erased the last two letters of the Hebrew. It was all handwriting, and they whited it out. So this was the one I took, so it was 18 years ago. L'chvo Tamideha Yeshiva V'Yorcheh, you'll see there's a lot of guests. L'kras Bo Yom Hashem Hagadol V'Hanara. So there it is. He doesn't even call it Yom Kippur. It's Yom Hagadol V'Hanara, the great day of Hashem. Hinenu Bozel L'Ha'ir, to remark, L'Orer Mechadash, to emphasize Al Haschus, the great privilege v'hachovah and the obligation liyaed to designate, to dedicate ad kama she yad kulano magas, as much as we can, as hayom kulo, the entire day, la'avodas Hashem tzrufa, to be with Hashem, as we would say, neto, pure. We spend our whole lives trying to integrate so many pieces into avodas Hashem, and we may be honest with ourselves, we may be dishonest. Each person does their own degree of integration. But there's something called direct, unqualified avodas Hashem. Reading, reading philosophy tomorrow. So 364 days a year, reading a secular philosopher. Some people feel it does help, some feel it wouldn't help. So each person makes their choice. But tomorrow it's Talmud Torah. It's tefillah. It's mitzvos. It's the ritual, straight omer lefnei Hashem. Not whatever else we happen to be able to, some more, some less, integrate into their world, and each person does their own. L'tara v'l'tfila. Yesh l'tzamtzim k'chol ha'efshar. Try to limit. Here's the core. B'sichas chulin. Just stop talking. U'lihimanami mifgashei mireyos. And certainly any socializing. She'amnam bizmanam uvim komam tovim mekshirim. There's nothing wrong with socializing. Ach asher lo zeh ha'moed v'lo zeh ha'tar. This isn't the time nor the place. L'asok bohem. Alachas kama v'kama. Sheishli mana kalil, entirely avoid. Mikol sicha sheishba nidnut shel kalas rosh. I think that's kalas rosh. What's kalas rosh? Non-serious conversation. Sichas chulin is regular conversation about, about the stock market. I don't think it's kalas rosh about the stock market or about Trump or about politics. Or kalas rosh is obviously with girls. Your whole tone changes when you're talking to girls. You want to present yourself a certain way. You want to be seen a certain way. Kalas Rosh would be maybe areas that don't have really any deeper content to them, sports, and it's just entertainment would be Kalas Rosh, right? The stock market, it's a question of your parnasa. The politics, you feel, will shape the world, whatever. But So from both, v'ninu chozrim al bakasha v'azharat kefa. Rav Aaron was very, very prudent with his words. Rarely saw him use the word azhara, warning. Shelo yafchu chalila sofei tfilos. The ends of tfilos shouldn't turn into v'hafsekosehem in the breaks. No such big breaks here. It's basically tonight, tomorrow, half an hour. Lemoadei mifkashim chavratiim. Just the people hanging out talking. Kalilim b'tchuma yeshiva b'tzimoshi yom kippurim. And the signature says it all. B'tzipia drucha. I'm coiled. Daruch means I'm coiled. I'm like tense. I'm about ready. B'tzipia drucha. Daruch means, you know, hikar. I'm ready. B'tzipia drucha lemechila. Slicha v'chapara. B'toch kol kahal adas Yisrael. Rav Yehuda Amital. Look and see. In the back is basically an English translation. More or less. I just told it to you, but you're certainly welcome to read it. I don't want this to become laser focused about this issue, but there are girls here. It's not. We try very hard to, on the one hand, make an inviting environment for people that need to daven, on the other hand, not to create social scenes. But certainly not the time to be hanging around talking. You see someone, you say Gajantav, Marachsina Tova. But even amongst yourselves, I can only tell you how vivid the image I have of Tova Lichtenstein, the strong arm Tova Lichtenstein, the arm of the law, standing outside the Beis Medrash, literally pushing people back to their rooms. I mean, it almost got physical. When she would see people hanging around talking, she would go over and shout them out of the mivawak. Go back to your room and go to sleep. Say some Tehillim. Say Kriya Shema Lamita the right way. Go to sleep. Go to the knockout shiur tonight. Even just as a little experience. Just stay for 5-10 minutes after the shiur. Just to see what it's like. And just to give you a sense of what tonight is. After Maariv, we do something called Shir Shel Kavod, which is, there's an Anam Zemiros-like shiur for every day that we don't say during the year. We only say the Shabbos shiur, which is, we know as Anam Zemiros, but there is a shiur for every day, and you may have seen it in your shuls, it may not have been, you read it responsibly, so it takes about half an hour. You sit in your seats, you're not standing, and Chazan reads one pasuk. Again, if you're tired, then go to sleep then. You should certainly know that Maariv is officially over when we say the two prakim, the first four prakim of Tehillim, but it's a lot happening in the Beis Medrash. Sit down, read some Rambams, go through the Avoda with the Sefer that you got, the Rav Pinny Sefer, the Rav Yitzchak Levi Shir. Is that tomorrow when you say the Avoda? If not, then just go to sleep. But certainly not hanging around. Again, you don't ever want to be rude to anyone. So anyone you see. But this should be a little bit of ambivalence. You know, I have a deep ambivalence. On the one hand, I don't really want to say anything to anyone. I just want to talk to Hashem for 24 hours. On the other hand, there are so many wonderful people coming in that I want to see and see them. So I go over and greet everyone. You'll see the minigas to go around and greet everyone. Gmar Chasima Tova. It's a very, very special environment in the beginning of Yom Kippur. Those are three hints. The watch, don't think about Thursday, and try to bridge between the davening and obviously the Kal V'Chomer. You all can make Kal V'Chomers at this point. The Kal V'Chomer from this is, if you're not supposed to be talking in Kalos Rosh during the breaks, then certainly you don't want to be talking in Shul during davening, even during the moments that you're allowed to talk. Certainly if you want to have that audience of Lifnei Hashem, it's really hard to create that modality if you're talking. Let me conclude by sharing how Rabbi Akiva, in my opinion, the magic of tshuva, and then I'll tell you Rav Amital's famous Ne'ilah Sicha. But if you have a little bit of time today, I never ever recommend the Sicha to you globally. Obviously kids come over and say, I'm struggling with this issue, so here, I recorded something, you may want to listen to it. But this I feel comfortable recommending. If you have some time, I'll abbreviate it for you. But if you want to listen to the full version, it's on YU Torah, and I put it up on the WhatsApp. To me, Rabbi Akiva voices the ultimate tshuva statement. We talked about before, Yechezkel says that Hashem pours water on you. And the Pasuk says, Ki ve'yoma ze'yechapo lecha be'Hashem. So you think these are all the precursors. In order to be lifnei Hashem, in order to be mi'alei bahar Hashem, I have to purify myself, I've got to cleanse myself, I've got to expurgate all my failures and my limitations, then I can be Amid Lefnei Hashem. Now I've got to sit down and work hard and struggle and find all my flaws and pull out all my adulterations, and then I'll be Zalcha to be Amid Lefnei Hashem. Rabbi Akiva said something audacious. I don't have a better word to say it. Audacious. Ashreichem Yisrael. Lefnei mi'atem mitarim. I'm crying when I say it. It's so inviting. This is a complete transformation. Mikveh, of course, in the pasuk means the hope of the Jewish people, but Rabbi Akiva turned it into the mikveh. The mikvah is not the place you go to after your Torah. The mikvah is what's mitar you. You would think, I have to be tar so that I can be omid lifnei Hashem. Maybe I don't have to be perfectly tar, but I have to start the process of tara, or else I can't stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, no, just come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your sins, with your dirt, with your treifkat, with whatever you have. He's the mikvah. It's an amazing turnaround. Hashem is the mikvah. Who goes to the mikvah? You don't go to the mikvah after your tar. You go to the mikvah when you treif, when you tummy. So Hashem says, just come be with me. Just let me in. Stand in my presence. I'll do this. I'll do the hard work for you. I'll perform. I'll be your mikvah. I'll cleanse you. All you have to do is feel my presence and be here and immerse yourself in my mikvah. So from the first minute of Yom Kippurim, you're there. You don't need to do tshuva. Of course, it helps. It makes it richer. It makes it more personal. But ultimately, forget Yom Kippurim. It's Yom HaGadol V'Hanara. Yom Kippurim is that first day of hard work and self-introspection and examination. And Yom HaGadol V'Hanara is Rabbi Akiva's mikvah. And Hashem will do it for you. Just stand in front of Hashem and help you the mikvah. I break down when I think of that pasuk. What a gift. It's one thing to invite me and say, here are the preconditions to come to the party. You have to dress a certain way. You have to behave a certain way. You have to mold your character. So another thing, Hashem, just come. Come, whatever you're wearing, whatever you're carrying, wherever you are, whatever pain you have, just come, and I'll do the rest. It's all me. Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Ashrechem Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva's comment was just so historically resonant because he was speaking to people who couldn't imagine Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur and the Beis HaMikdash was so dramatically different. Remember, Yom Kippur, the Beis HaMikdash, was a ceremonious pageantry. Kohen Gadol, Begadim, animals, Ketores, throngs, I mean, this was the day of the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And Rabbi Akiva lives through the destruction. And people are pulling their hair out. What is Yom Kippur without the Beis HaMikdash? Without a Kohen Gadol? Without a Sayer? Without Par? Without a Machta? Without Gecheles? Without Ketores? What does it even mean? They're basically ready to throw in the towel. Akiva was saying, it's not it. You don't need anything. You don't need Beis HaMikdash ceremonies. You don't need Tshuva, so to speak, in the... The tshuva is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Just be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever you are. You're in Rome, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Rabbi Akiva is telling the Jews who are exiled to Rome, or holding Yom Kippur in the bottom cellar of the Colosseum, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is wherever you want. Just a mikveh. But that goes back to what I said before. Mikveh is only kosher if you're immersed in the mikveh. If you stick one foot into the mikveh and the rest of your body is out of the mikveh, it doesn't work. So the mikveh has a double entendre. It's the agency for Torah, but you need this immersion. You've got to put your whole imagination, your whole identity into the mikvah. Then your whole identity comes out transformed. Not just dip your toes in. And then Rav Avital Sicha. I'll summarize it. It's in line with what Rabbi Akiva said. Revolutionary. I can't use any other word. I always found Ne'ila dissonant from the rest of the Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Kel Melech Yoshev, V'Kisei Rachamim, Kita V'Rachamim Baal Slichos. You don't want Rishayim to die. You want them to do tshuva. Micha Mocha Av HaRachamon Zechei Yitzur V'Chaim B'Rachamim. And then all of a sudden the ear time comes and the gates are closing and Hashem is standing by the gate snickering at us and we have to try to get our tefillos in as quickly as possible before the gates close. It was just so discordant. V'Vidi Av HaRachamim, keep the gates open. What does it mean the gates are closed? I have to slip my tefillos in before it closes. I spent the whole Yom Kippur talking about how generous you are and how allowing you are and how helpful you are. And now the iron gates are closing. I have to make sure I get them in as quickly as possible. So Rav Amital almost every year would quote the following medrash, the most famous medrash. The fifth parak of Shir HaShirim talks about the man coming and trying to solicit the woman to leave her house and join him. He comes knocking on the door, Piskeliachosi, Rayasi, Yonasi, Tamasi, come join me. She's a little bit hesitant. She says, I'm a little tired. I'm in my pajamas. I've already taken a bath. She doesn't get up right away. Finally, he sticks his hand through the door, Dodi Shalach Yodim Minachor, tries to get her to come. She finally gets up. She can smell the perfume. She's aware that this is a moment of rendezvous. Al Kaposa Manol, she turns the door, and by the time she turns the door to open it up for her husband, Dodi Chamak Avar, he leaves, he's disappeared, and another blown opportunity. So it's the tragedy of blown opportunities in our romance with Hashem. That's the fifth paragraph of Shir HaShirim. The Medrash says, "Kam teni liftoach lidodi." You can hear Avamital's voice. Zet fila shachris. V'yaday notfos mor, zet filas musaf. V'es bosay mor over, zet filas mincha. Al kapos ha-man'ul. Her hand is on the door, man'ul, the locked door. What does man'ul sound like? Which tfila? Zunila. Essentially, the Medrash says that Yom Kippur and all the tfilos are a long process in trying to open the door, like Shir HaShirim. Think of Yom Kippurim through the gloss of Shir HaShirim. We're trying to open the door. Who's trying to get in? In the mashal of Shir HaShirim, the man's trying to get in. Who's that man? Who's the male? Kodesh Baruch Hu. And who's trying to let him in, but sometimes isn't so successful in letting him in? Us. And the Ila is our last chance to try to open the door to let Hashem in. The struggle of the Ila, guys, listen, is not what's happening in the gates of Shemayim. That's not really where the action of Ila is. The struggle for Ila is what's happening here. Can you finally open the door and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in? Hashem wants to get in. Hashem is more desperate during the Ila than you are. Hashem is the male, banging on the door. I want to come in. I can come into any place on this earth I want. I just can't get into your heart without you opening it, because that's the way I created you. The gates that are up for grabs now are not the Shari Shamayim. The scene of action is not what's happening up in Shamayim. But can you finally succeed after Kamti Ani Liftach L'Dodi Yedavin Shachris V'Yaday Matnatfu Mar Yedavin Mincha and Musaf and Mincha Al Kapa, can you finally open the door and let Hashem in? He's more desperate than you are to come into your heart, because the Shekhinah wants to be with you. That's in total sync with Yom Kippur. That's the Yom Kippur I know. I want to find Hashem, and it's hard because I got a beautiful, beautiful question from a high school boy who listened to my shiur. He WhatsApped me. He says, "I shared the shiur with my high school class." Listened to the shiur and he shared it. Someone raised his hand, had a question. How do you let Hashem in? So they wanted me to give him an answer. So I gave him a general answer that he could share with his classmates. That's the desperation of the Ila. You let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. Can you turn that corner and say, you know what, if I could just take the pill and let the Ila last forever, I would. This is real. This is reality. This is not the fiction I lived my whole life in. The duality. Not just say fiction, the duality. Yom Kippur is reality. Life is duality. Neshama and Guf. World in Olam Haba. Bestriding two worlds. One day a year. Elokim Elyon. B'nei Elyon Kolchem. Marti Elokim Atem. One day, we're like Malachim. One day, we just taste what our lives and our reality would be like. So those are some of the challenges you guys can try to tackle, and we all try to tackle. My heart is filled with excitement. It's also filled with dread. Will I succeed? I want to be successful. I want to try to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. This is the day. Try to enjoy it. Don't try to dread it. Try to engage it. I want to ask anyone here who felt that if anything I did was... Did I kick you out the door or something, Rashi? Right? Anything I did was hurt your feelings. I don't know, maybe other things less comical. I want to ask you for mechila. This is a great year, and I'm completely, totally invested in hoping, praying, and trying whatever I can that you'll all be successful. As we talked about in Rosh Hashanah, daven, there's so much to daven for, especially with what happened 2 days ago. Daven for Am Yisrael. Daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give racham to his people. Simcha li'artzecha v'sasam li'iracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu should call it Dever, V'cherev, V'rav, V'shvi. It should be no longer Dever, V'cherev, V'rav in our people, in our nation. And daven that that you'll feel his presence in Yom Kippur. He'll also help you. All you have to do is open. I guess that high school boy, that was the best question. How, Rebbe? How? I don't have the answer for that. I don't have the answer for how to let a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I wish I had the answer for myself. I certainly don't have the answer for you. It's really hard. But you do it. And don't be upset at yourself if you're not completely successful. If you deep want it, then Hashem knows it. Even if you have a harder time extracting it. Amarino, yiyun amarino letzon v'hagyon libi lefonecha. Hashem, don't just look at what we say, look at what we think. Amarino hazin Hashem, bina hagigi. Just listen to my lips. Look at my hagigi, my thoughts. Just, you know me better than I know myself. You know how much I want it. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Abba Rachaman. If you want it deeply and there's no barrier, then Kodesh Baruch Hu will help you find it. Everyone should have a kesiva v'chesima tova, a meaningful Yom Kippur. You'll feel it when you walk in a mincha today, Mirtz Hashem. If you want to, you don't have to. Obviously, people have been hugging, but today is a Yom Tov. It's a mitzvah of achila v'shtia, so you should be makbid not just for your health, but also to eat. If you want, some people have minhag to wear white shirts and Yom Tov clothing part of the day, certainly for mincha. Mincha is already the first part of Yom Kippurim. Obviously, if you have one final white shirt that's clean, save it for tomorrow, or if you feel more comfortable otherwise, but just start to feel the spirit and the feeling today. Everyone should have a Gemara Chasima Tova. We'll see you all later today.
What's the bracha one should make? What should they say?
We don't make a bracha. It's a shittas yachad. We're not.